To continue then, in our last installment as we left off, I was just suggesting that I must determine that if there is a reason for me to be actively concerned about the existence of God, and then the question, how do I go about determining that? Well, what do I know for sure that I have to work with? I have seen that there is a thing called reality, meaning a fixed nature to that which affects my life, that reality is beyond my control, so that I attempt to discover it, because when I misjudge it, I stub my toe on it. So it becomes important that I discover it as it is and deal with it as it is. This does not block off my choices. I still have many choices available to me. But the point is, I must start with the premise that reality is what it is, and I must deal with it as it is, because it's bigger than I am. And I've seen that this reality operates in accordance with certain systems, which we call the laws of nature. These are simply the systematic underpinnings to the specific realities we observe, the basis upon which these realities take place. The laws of nature are, of course, viewed subjectively by me. And no matter how anyone attempts to start with the assumption that they really exist, that they are objective, that they are absolute, and that I can't change them, it still comes back to the fact that each of us must observe them subjectively. But within my own subjective framework, I do find them to be immutable, unyielding, meaning that whatever they really are, there's nothing I can do about changing them. And so that is what makes it important for me to discover them just as closely as I can. They are evidence of something firm, dependable, and durable. Now, are they God, or at least proof of his existence? Well, again, I have to keep the question on a relevant basis. And there is no importance in whether or not the laws of nature prove God's existence, but rather the importance is in what those laws of nature mean in my life. And I have abundant evidence that I will only bring harm to myself if I try to overcome them or ignore them or flout them. They are bigger than I am. As far as I am concerned, even if I am imperfectly perceiving them, they are still unchanging. They are still there and absolute. And let me make it clear what I mean by such an absolute statement. I have discovered within my own subjective framework that there is nothing I can do to change the laws of nature. They are bigger than I am. Not only that, but they are completely dependable. If what I once understood to be a natural law no longer seems to work, I will then integrate the new knowledge into the old to formulate a new statement of that law that I find to be more in keeping with the reality that has acted upon me. And if I check back into history, I find that the newer statement is just as consistent with my past experience as it is with the present experience, meaning that I can see by checking history that the law itself has not changed, but only that my understanding of the law has changed, that it was that I was not aware of another factor which would alter my statement of the law in the past. Now, this is an important thing to realize. It was truth as it was the best I knew, because I would act upon it as truth, and that's what's important. I recognize the possibility that I might be wrong at the very time I said this is truth, but I'm not going to wipe the word truth out of my vocabulary just because everything is pending future discoveries. But as newer information comes to light, and sometimes the natural law doesn't work the way I expected it to, I then have to integrate new experience into it to formulate a more precise statement of the law. But in every experience I have had along this line, I have checked back into history and found that my past experience was just as consistent with a new statement of the law. And it was proof to me then that the natural law itself had not changed, only my perception of it, only my view of it, my understanding. So these laws then, to me, within my subjective framework, are so unchanging that it is foolhardy on my part to attempt to go against them, to ignore them, to flout them, or to think that I can supersede them. Tomorrow's weather can be predicted because the natural laws are not going to change. If a man is capable of obtaining enough information about today's climatic conditions, he can then apply the laws that have been discovered to determine tomorrow's weather. Scientists can construct television sets and refrigerators and automobiles and polio vaccine because the laws of nature are unchanging and they can be used. They are a rationality, meaning an understandable system. Once the scientist has discovered the relevant law and acquired the knowledge with which to apply it, progress can then take place. So there is a fixed framework to this thing called reality, and without that fixed framework, we would be living in a world of chaos. Nothing would be predictable. We would not be able to control anything. There would be no science of mechanics upon which to construct things. There would be no understanding of